5. Yennefer studies the fur-lined cloak, twitches the collar, and runs a thumb over the stitching of the hem.
"Is this the best you have?"
she asks the tailor, eyebrow raised.
"Because no matter what you try to tell me, this fur is not mink, and I'm fairly sure that this hem will come undone within seconds of me handing over my money."
She works a nail underneath a particularly loose stitch, tugs it out with the barest amount of pressure, and looks up at him expectantly. The tailor's expression tightens.
"Madam," he says, expansive and saturnine, "I can assure you..."
"I'm going to assume," Yennefer interrupts, tossing the cloak back on the table between them, "that you saw me walk into your little shop, took me for some rich, arrogant fool who doesn't understand the difference between fashion and quality, and decided to whip out the cheap cuts that you've been trying to flog since, by the look of them, last spring." There's an awkwardness in the tailor's eyes that tells her she's right.
"Please accept my humblest apologies," he says, bowing and scraping. "This must have been left out in the shop by my apprentice. As you say, my lady, it's not fit for sale. I do apologize."
With a quick movement, he sweeps the substandard cloak away underneath the table, hiding it, Yennefer reflects, from the view of any angry witches who might be about to seriously affect his ability to have children.
"If you'd come with me, I can show you some of our other wares that might be more suitable."
"And by suitable," Yennefer drawls, "I assume you mean functional?" The tailor flushes.
"I assure you that they will be more than appropriate for your needs," he says, and ushers her through into the shop's second room.
The clothes in here are much more like it, and Yennefer rapidly builds up a pile of things she wants to buy. A black cloak embroidered with silver thread, lined with astonishingly soft, and more importantly, genuine, mink fur that slips through her fingers like water. An ankle-length coat of fine wool, white fabric with black pearl embellishments carefully sewn along the high collar. Cashmere undergarments, thick enough to keep her warm through even the coldest winter nights. Two dresses, both black, with long sleeves, long skirts, and just enough detailing across the bodices to make them interesting instead of plain. She runs her fingertips across a beautifully stitched flower, done in golden metallic thread, and says, "This is very nice." The tailor stands a little straighter.
"I embroidered it myself," he says, his pride obvious in his voice. "The thread is very valuable and very difficult to obtain, so I prefer to take the pressure off my seamstresses and only use it myself."
Yennefer hums. "You have talent," she says, and adds the dress to the pile.
"I'll take the lot. And could you recommend a local shoemaker? I need some good winter boots."
When Yennefer returns to her lodgings in Novigrad, a little after dark, there are packages waiting for her from the tailor, the shoemaker, the furrier, and her favorite wine merchant. She takes her supper in the library, a book open on the table next to her, and then goes to pack, glass of warm mulled wine in one hand as she does so. She hums softly to herself, folding clothes for 2 weeks into a sizable traveling bag that will magically fold down to no more than the size of a satchel. Then pauses, realizes that the song she's humming is one of Yaskir's. In fact, it's the song he sang into San last year, the song that struck to the depths of her heart and made her see what she'd been missing for so long. It sits at the back of her mind even now, a constant accompaniment to her every waking moment. Yennefer's smile turns a little sad, and she tucks another pair of fur-lined boots into her bag. She's packing for Kaer Morhen, of course. She's expected there tomorrow, to stay for a fortnight or so that she can work with Ciri on some of the finer points of fire magic that she hasn't yet quite managed to perfect. And if she's honest with herself, she's been looking forward to this for months. It's been a long year, full of war, full of difficult decisions and internal strife. And all she wants to do is sink into the hot springs of the keep, a glass of her favorite red in one hand, and the arms of her lovers around her. Geralt will be there, of course, ruggedly handsome, smiling at her with that deep wellspring of quiet, solid love that makes her heart swell. But Yaskir couldn't make it this year. Something to do with an important conference at Oxenford that he can't justifiably miss to, as he put it the last time she saw him, fuck around in the mountains with a bunch of witchers. And one witch, of course, he had said, as they lay tangled together in his bed in Oxenford, sweaty and postcoital. And this isn't to say that I don't want to come and lavish my attention on your nub of delight every day, because you know I do. But I really have to stay here. He smiled, a little lopsided. Geralt will keep you warm, I'm sure, he purred, running his fingers down the curve of her ribs. I gave him some tips the last time I saw him. Maybe he'll manage to beat my record one day. In her lodgings in Novigrad, Yennefer smiles at the memory. She tucks 3 wine bottles into her bag, settling them carefully in the folds of a thick furred bearskin, and puts aside the soft pulse of sadness in her heart. She'll see Yaskir in the spring, she knows, because she has business with his old spymaster that will take her to Oxenfurt. That will have to be enough. Besides, Geralt will be at Kaer Morhen, and Geralt is more than enough to keep her satisfied. She thinks of the gleam of his golden yellow eyes and flickering candlelight, and feels heat stirring in her belly. Yennefer finishes packing, then sets the now satchel-sized bag to one side and reaches for her mulled wine once more. She settles in the library, the same book from dinner open on her knee, and lights the already laid fire with a flick of her fingers. She tries to read for a while, but her eyes just flicker across the words without really taking them in. Not helped, of course, by the fact that the book is some dry treatise on the advanced uses of chaotic fire that Tisea recommended. Tisea is a brilliant woman in many ways, one of the sharpest minds Yennefer thinks she's ever known, and her recommendations on academic subjects are always spot on, but her taste in prose can be dull, to say the least. Sabrina warned her as much when she passed the book to her over tea and delicately flavored cakes one afternoon in Arcaic a few weeks ago. "It's not the most interesting, that one," she'd said, a sneer twisting her elegant lips. "There's a much more lively dissertation on the topic, written by an old Edernian sorceress. It's in the library at Bernard, I think. You should dig that up once you've slogged through Tisea's garbage. The name's Magda, maybe? Or Magdalena? Something like that. A fellow Vengaburgian, I think." Her sneer flickered a little more wicked. "But of course, you can't really believe anything that a Vengaburgian sorceress would write, can you?" Yennefer just raised an eyebrow and finished off her tea. "Not your best effort, Sabrina." Sabrina had sighed a little, then pulled a pile of correspondence out of her pearl-encrusted bag. "I was up late last night," she said, rifling through until she'd found a torn-open letter which she'd handed to Yennefer. "A message from Triss that you need to see. It's about that bloody business with Dijkstra." Sabrina laughed as Yennefer unfurled the letter. "If only a pet bard was still in his employ, Yenna. You could get him and your witcher to do our dirty work for us. That would solve all kinds of problems." In her library in Novigrad, Yennefer ignores the curl of warmth in her stomach at "your bard," paired so neatly with "your witcher." Somehow, despite their interwoven lives and interweaving destinies, Yennefer hasn't been in the same place as both Geralt and Yaskir at the same time since she spent that hot, hazy summer evening in Tassan with Yaskir. She's drunk with Yaskir in Oxenfurt and traveled with Geralt through the ruins of Sintra, watched Geralt slaughter monsters and seen Yaskir bewitch a dozen noble audiences with the particular magic of his lute. And she knows that they've been together,
that Yasker was at Kaer Morhen last winter, that Geralt was in Oxenford only a week before her. Somehow, though, their paths have never come together. To anyone else, it would probably be an odd arrangement, tangled with jealousy and resentment. And Yennefer thinks that if it were any other two people in this world, it would be. But Geralt is Geralt, and Yaskir is Yaskir. They balance each other out. They all do. Yennefer watches the lazy gutter of the flames, crackling bright and hot around the sweet-smelling logs on the hearth. And after a little while, she goes back to her book. Novigrad is frosty the next morning, white tendrils tracing across the chill glass of her bedroom window, a bite in the air that nips at the back of her throat. But Yennefer is well aware that this is a spring breeze compared to what awaits her in the mountains. She wraps herself in soft undergarments, in a thick dress, in a fur-collared coat and the fur-lined cloak that she bought from the tailor yesterday, then gloves, a fur stole, and winter boots. She wonders about a hat, but decides against it. She's never really suited hats, and it has been a few months since the last she saw Geralt. Not that she needs to, of course, because he would be eating out of her hand if she was dressed in rags and swamp mud. But she wants to impress, to see his pupils dilate when he catches sight of her, to see his nostrils flare as he breathes in her perfume. A shiver runs through her, rich with anticipation. The spelled satchel on her shoulder, she opens a portal to Kaer Morhen. Yennefer expects biting winds when she steps through. She expects it to be so ferociously cold that she can't breathe, expects howling gales and blasting snowstorms, expects to have to stumble blindly to the nearest shelter before she can so much as form a conscious thought. Instead, she goes through the portal, head bowed in preparation, and steps into a small courtyard just behind the main gate of the keep that's drenched in a bone-deep, aching silence. The portal snaps shut behind her without a sound, and Yennefer looks up, not at the blasting gale, not at menacing gray walls hidden behind a thunderous wave of snow, but at fresh snow, light and delicate. Snowflakes gliding on silent eddies and catching gently in the dark web of her hair. The thin layer of fresh snow across the flagstones is undisturbed by footprints, perfect, untouched, and the courtyard is full of that peculiar silence that only comes with snowfall. The world is muffled, muted. All she can hear is the creaking of the leather strap across her shoulder, the soft rush of her breath, the tread of her boots against the stone underfoot. Yennefer closes her eyes, turns her face to the sky, and listens to the quiet of the snow. Peace seeps slowly into her heart, her mind, her soul, soothing the fears that plague her across the continent, the struggles, the difficulties. Here, she can rest. Yen. Geralt's voice is as rich and full of happiness as it ever could be. Yennefer looks down to see him striding toward her, unarmored, absent his swords, his hair loose around his shoulders. Despite the cold, he's in his shirt sleeves, forearms bare, medallion glinting around his neck. And she barely has time to smile before she's in his arms, his hands warm against her cheeks, his lips chapped and rough against hers. She sinks into the kiss, feels something that was tight and tense loosen in her chest, and wraps her arms around his shoulders, laughs as he bodily lifts her off her feet. "Put me down," she orders, smacking her hand against his shoulder. "I'm not a toy for you to throw around, Geralt." Geralt rumbles a hum against her neck. "I missed you," he murmurs. "That doesn't change the fact that I won't be treated like this," Yennefer says, bright and amused and happy. Set me down, Geralt, before I make you set me down. Geralt keeps her lifted for a moment longer, kisses her thoroughly one more time, and then sets her down on her feet with surprising care.
I'm glad you're here,
he says, brushing snow off the shoulders of her cloak.
I've been outnumbered these past few weeks, and I was beginning to think that it would be spring again before I managed to win an argument.
That assumes that I'd take your side in whatever arguments you're having, Yennefer says, running her fingertips down his forearms, across the backs of his hands.
Which is, frankly, an unlikely proposition.
She pauses, frowns up at him. Outnumbered by whom, exactly? Geralt's expression is somewhere between wryly amused and ecstatically content.
Eskel brought an unexpected guest to the keep this winter,
he says, and Yennefer can practically taste the eye roll.
Might ruin your plans for a relaxing few weeks, I'm afraid, Yen.
What unexpected guest? Yennefer asks. Another witcher? Or one of the lodge? Geralt smiles.
Not exactly.
Yennefer! Yennefer jerks away from Geralt, startled. Yaskir? She asks, incredulous. And, oh, he's right there, wrapped in a bright blue cloak and ludicrously shiny boots, cheeks red and hair awry. His song flares up in her heart, loud enough to drown out the silence of the snow. And she didn't think she'd see him for months. Didn't think she'd see him until the new year, at least. But here he is, grinning at her in a perfect echo of her own joy. Yaskir, she says again, warmer, and goes to him, winds her hands into the front of his cloak, and pulls him to her, kisses him with fierce love and sharp, spiking happiness, then laughs into his mouth as he dips her flamboyantly, so deep her hair almost brushes the snowy ground. Yaskir tugs her upright, kisses her again with a thoroughness that makes heat pool low in her stomach.
Excited to see me? He asks, cocking an eyebrow.
Or is this some new fashionable Novigradian greeting that I'm going to have to learn before I'm next in the city?
I thought you were wintering in Oxenfurt, Yennefer says, not letting him go, not letting him move an inch. I don't know if you've noticed, my naiad, but this is not Oxenfurt.
It isn't, Yaskir gapes. What am I going to do? I've been misled.
Yennefer hears Geralt chuckle. He got into a fight,
he says, arms folded and golden gaze heavy on them.
Got kicked out for causing trouble.
Yaskir scoffs.
Don't listen to his simplistic explanation, he insists. I was involved in a minor altercation at the music faculty winter formal, which, I might point out, was because the accuracy of certain songs of mine was questioned, Geralt, specifically songs about you and the mighty size of your—
I never asked you to write a whole song cycle about my cock, Geralt interrupts.
Humanity, Geralt,
Yaskir says primly. It was an argument about your humanity, Witcher.
Gods, what do you think of me?
He sniffs, looking back to Yennefer.
Anyway, words were exchanged, and then so were fists. Unfortunately, one of my intellectual opponents was the Dean of Music, and, well, he's never really liked me anyway. Managed to get me forcibly rusticated for the winter, which is very unfair if you ask me. How is he ever going to grow as an academic if he can't deal with
being punched in the jaw? Yennefer offers.
The gut, actually.
Yaskir corrects, then grins at her, leans down, and kisses her.
I was lucky enough that Eskel happened to be in the area,
he says, kisses her again.
He made fun of me.
Another kiss.
That brought me here anyway.
Another. Deeper. Longer.
And then Geralt said he could send you word, tell you that I was here waiting for you.
Another. His hand sliding into her hair, his mouth warm and wet.
But I thought it might be a nice surprise.
He finishes, then smirks.
Was I right? You were right, Yennefer murmurs. Pulls him down to her once more. See? He asks Scarecrows, wrapping his arm around Yennefer's shoulders and looking triumphantly over to Geralt. I was right, Geralt. Bet you're glad I stopped you sending that letter now. Geralt's watching them, hands loose at his sides, shoulders relaxed, an expression surprisingly open. Open and heated. Very glad. He practically growls. And Yennefer hears the hitch in Yaskia's breathing. Knows he sees it too. For a second, the three of them are wrapped in the silence of the snow, unmoving. Geralt takes a step toward them. And at the same time, his voice hoarse, Yaskir says, Should we? Quick footsteps sound through the keep. And Ciri comes crashing into the strange, fraught tension that's filling the courtyard. You're here, she says brightly. And before Yennefer really knows what's happening, Yaskir stepped aside to let Ciri through, and her arms are around Ciri's shoulders, her cheek pressed to her hair, soft and tickling against her neck.
I forgot you were getting here today,
Ciri says, overflowing and overspilling, then takes her hand and tugs it toward the keep proper. I know you probably want to share with Geralt, or with Yaskir, I don't know which, but I spent last week tidying your room for you anyway. It has all the books on chaos that I could find in the library, although Vesemir told me that if we damage any of them, he'll have me running laps around the forest trail for a month.
I imagine that would only be fair, Yennefer says. Some of the volumes here are irreplaceable. The Witchers have texts that I've never seen in any other library, anywhere on the continent. Not even at Aratuza or Bernard.
Ciri nods, absorbing this.
There were some that he wouldn't let me take out of the library, she says. They looked very old, and some of them were written in a language I didn't even recognize.
Yennefer nods. There's a book in Vesemir's collection that I believe even he can't decode, she says. It's some ancient Skellige dialect that no one speaks anymore. Because of the dreadful preservation conditions on those godforsaken islands, no comparable texts have survived. I keep trying to persuade him to let me take it to the lodge, or even to the academics at Oxenford to work out a translation, but he's a stubborn old bastard.
Good to see you too, Sorceress.
Vesemir's dry voice sounds from an open door further along the corridor.
Yennefer flushes a little, and Ciri just giggles at her side.
She spends the rest of the day settling in, reminding herself of the rhythms of the keep and the idiosyncrasies of its inhabitants.
Eskel is the only other witcher wintering here this year, and he explains to her, when she runs into him on her way to the Hot Springs, that it's because Lambert's still scared to be around her with no easy escape route.
Yennefer laughs at that and says, I'm glad he's learned his lesson, and that he won't be touching Ciri's hair anytime soon. Eskel shrugs.
He's actually becoming a fairly competent barber, he says. Spent a summer with some girl then in Lyria who taught him a few things. He gave Geralt the trim last winter and didn't butcher it completely.
You should probably remember, Yennefer says, that mine and Geralt's standards for what is acceptable in a haircut are wildly different.
I wouldn't dare suggest otherwise,
Eskel says, the corner of his lips twitching upward in a smile.
After all, I like wintering here. And not having to run for my life every time I hear you're in town. Enjoy the springs, my lady sorceress. I'll make sure you're not disturbed.
Appreciated, Yennefer says, and goes for a soak. They gather in the small hall that evening for bowls of Vesemir's venison stew, accompanied by the fresh, if somewhat lopsided, bread rolls that Ciri made this morning. It's simple, uncomplicated fare, a far cry from the swan baked in elaborately gilded pastry Yennefer dined on 2 weeks ago at the Redanian court, but after a day spent in the cold of the winter and the heat of the springs, it's delicious. Vesemir brings a bottle of whiskey to the table, shares it with Geralt and Eskel, and he does offer it to Yennefer, but frankly, she has very little interest in drinking something that smells quite so strongly of paint stripper.
Yaskir laughs, his expression wry.
I'm afraid that you'll have to get used to it, he says, a little morose. That whiskey is as good as it gets up here.
I have 3 bottles of that Caedwinian red we had in Vangaberg in my bags, Yennefer says, arching an eyebrow. And she can't help but smile when his eyes go comically wide.
I would have brought more if I knew that you were going to be here, my Niant. But I suppose we'll just have to savor what we have.
Yaskir makes a noise that's startlingly similar to a noise he makes when he comes.
You,
he says, emphatic and overbright,
are a goddess.
Yennefer smiles, daintily selects another roll, and splits it in two.
Oh, I know, she says, buttering her bread,
and doesn't look up even when she feels Yaskir's feet tangling with hers under the table. After Ciri and Geralt have cleared the plates and bowls, Yennefer goes back to her room to fetch the bottle of red. Yaskir's dug out 2 surprisingly elegant wine glasses by the time she slips back into the small hall, and he's set up a small table by the fireplace, ready and waiting. As Yennefer gets closer, she realizes that the table is actually an upended beer barrel with a worn white cloth draped artfully over the top, but it's more than adequate for their purposes. She pours for them both, then settles down on the bench next to him, touches her glass to his. 2 unexpected meetings, she says, softly enough that even the witchers will struggle to hear her. Yaskir's eyes dance in the firelight. And to you, he says, simple and direct, and drinks. Geralt and Ciri emerge from the kitchen before long. Soap suds on Ciri's cheek and an amused tilt to Geralt's lips. Ciri is telling a story that seems to involve a goose, a rot fiend, and a posy of flowers, her ash blonde hair glinting in the candlelight. And she laughs at whatever the climax of the narrative is, then spots Yennefer and Yaskir by the fire and starts to make a beeline for them. Eskel, however, intercepts her with some questions about her horse, a black mare named Kelpie that Ciri spent a good hour this afternoon extolling to Yennefer. And within a few minutes, Ciri is firmly escorting both Eskel and Vesemir out of the small hall, on their way to the stables to, presumably, pamper their horses. Yennefer doesn't miss the wink Eskel tosses Geralt on his way out, and Geralt's nod of thanks. And then it's just the 3 of them, alone in the small hall with the wine and the firelight. Yaskir shifts a little at Yennefer's side, his thigh pressed to hers, his arm laid out across the back of the bench behind her. Well, he says, as Geralt comes to sit opposite them, leaning forward, his elbows propped on his knees. We'd offer you some wine, Geralt, but I could actually only find 2 of these lovely glasses in the kitchen. And, well, you've had enough of that foul whiskey that I'm pretty sure you wouldn't appreciate the tannins of the Southern Caedwinian vineyards.
Probably not,
Geralt says, and the smile on his lips is as soft as Yennefer has ever seen it. There's quiet for a moment, broken only by the crackling of the fire. So, Yennefer says eventually, her mouth oddly dry, we should probably talk.
Yaskir snorts,
finishes what's left in his glass, and leans forward to pour another.
That's all you ever want to do,
he says, affection thick in his voice.
Talk, talk, talk. Not that I'm saying that's a bad thing, mind you, but sometimes I really think it might be easier if we all just, you know, fell into bed together and then didn't bother to sort things out in the morning.
He pauses, pulls a face.
Although, admittedly, that's exactly how both of us started things with Geralt, Maniand, and that got complicated.
Geralt hums.
Do I need to apologize to both of you again?
He asks, but his tone is teasing. Not right now, Yennefer answers, then flashes him the smile that she knows from experience makes him sit up and take notice.
Maybe you can get on your knees for us later,
Geralt's eyes flare, and Yasgir groans.
Fuck,
he whispers, sitting back with a glass that's probably a little too full.
If we do this, I think it's going to kill me. I'm only human, after all. I'm not sure my tender heart can take you two gorgeous borderline immortals at once.
Never mind your heart, Yennefer says, sipping delicately. How about your cock?
Yasgir chokes, splutters wine down the front of his doublet.
Yen, Geralt says, don't tease. Teasing him is half the fun, Yennefer answers, but relents. She studies Geralt, her heart rate kicking up a notch. I know you're happy for us to be together when we're apart from you, she says, hyper-aware of how still Yasgir goes at her side, his fingers still dripping with wine. Does the same apply when we're with you? Her breathing is oddly shaky. Or would you prefer for our relationship with each other to be kept separate from our individual relationships with you?
I hadn't thought about it before, Geralt says,
his voice even lower than normal.
We were never in the same place, so it didn't really cross my mind.
It's difficult enough keeping track of the two of you separately, the havoc you both cause.
Hey! Yasgir exclaims. She leaves a trail of havoc behind her. I merely cause mischief.
You're as bad as each other,
Geralt says dryly.
And Yennefer smothers a laugh at Yaskir's offended scoff.
Geralt's expression shifts, turns a little darker.
This morning, in the courtyard,
he says, voice gravelly, and something twists in Yennefer's belly.
That was the first time I really thought about it.
When you saw us kiss?
Yasgir asks, eyebrow cocked. Geralt shakes his head.
When you went to him the moment you saw him,
he says, his gaze heavy on Yennefer.
And the look on your face when you did. I knew that you were fucking each other. Imagine that a few times when I was traveling alone. And you both told me that it was more than that. But, Yasgir, you fall in love with everyone, and Yen...
He trails off, shakes his head.
I couldn't imagine it.
Couldn't imagine me loving him? Yennefer asks, her voice tight and a little bitter. Yasgir's hand settles on her knee, squeezes gently.
Yeah.
Geralt admits, and his gaze skitters away. He stares into the fire, frowning.
I was wrong,
he says.
And I'm sorry for that.
He pauses, looks back to Yennefer.
That's what I saw this morning,
he says.
You love him, Yen.
His gaze slides to Yasgir.
And you love her. Not like you love every noble lord and lady who flirts with you.
He takes a breath, oddly shaky.
You love her like you love me.
I do, Yasgir answers, quiet and serious.
I really do, Geralt.
Warmth blossoms in Yennefer's chest.
I don't want you to hide any parts of yourself from me,
Geralt says, soft enough that his voice blends with the crackling of the fire, the creak of his leathers, the soft tapping of Yennefer's fingernails against her glass.
I love you both. And if you're willing to share what you have with me, I would be very happy.
Yennefer can't tamp down her smile. She turns to Yasgir, sees that there's an echoing grin splitting his lips, and says, light and teasing,
I assume that those are your words coming from our witcher's lips, my naiad.
Yasgir squeezes her knee.
For once, they're all his,
he says, warm and uncontrollably affectionate.
Isn't he growing up?
I'm so proud.
Geralt rumbles a laugh.
I'm older than both of you.
Which makes the emotional constipation all the more entertaining, Yennefer observes.
I've changed my mind,
Geralt says, his broad smile belying his words.
I don't want anything to do with either of you.
Pity.
Yeskier practically purrs, and the hand that's on Yennefer's knee slides a little higher, his fingers warm through the fabric of her dress.
Because I had all kinds of plans for this evening, Geralt. But I suppose I can rework them for just the two of us, if you're not interested.
He looks at Yennefer, his smile turning a little wicked, then traces a fingertip along her jaw, tilts her closer.
Would you be okay with that?
I think I might be,
Yennefer whispers, and closes the space between them in a soft, teasing kiss.
Yeskier kisses her deeply, thoroughly, his hand ghosting across the curve of her neck, his thumb pressing against the hammering of her pulse.
Yennefer gives as good as she gets, catching his lower lip between her teeth, running her hand down his chest, softly squeezing the growing bulge of his cock. And they're putting on a show, flaunting themselves, taunting Geralt with everything he can't have, can't touch. Except, of course, he can.
Yeskier makes an incoherent noise of surprise as he's pulled away from Yennefer, dragged to his feet, and kissed senseless by a lustful, lusting witcher.
Yennefer barely has time to appreciate the view before Geralt turns his attention to her, leaning down to kiss her just as fiercely, just as wantonly. And she would absolutely deny the whimper of sound that escapes her at that point, if it didn't seem to drive Geralt even further to distraction.
He holds her up, his other hand still fixed firmly on the front of Yesker's doublet, then growls,
"Bed. Now."
Probably better than us fucking for the first time in the small hall, Yesker says brightly. Not sure Vesemir would be particularly happy with us for that.
Yesker,
Geralt says in warning, at the same time as Yennefer drawls,
"Don't talk about Vesemir right now, my naiad."
Yeskier snorts a laugh as Geralt hauls him closer, wraps an arm around his shoulders, then looks between the two of them.
"You're going to have to explain this naiad thing to me,"
he says, caught somewhere between bemused and entertained. Yennefer catches Yeskier's eye, mirrors his grin.
"Take us to bed, Geralt," she says,
"and we'll show you." Geralt's room is tucked away in a fairly empty corner of the keep, far away from the others. And Yennefer knows that it's because he values his privacy, but right now, tonight, that isolation is going to be useful for other reasons. Yennefer's been here before, of course, spent long nights curled up in the fur-piled bed, bathed in the warmth of a blazing fire, the heat kept inside the stone walls by the muted tapestries hung on the walls, the rough rugs strewn across the floor. There's a table in one corner that doubles as a desk, a pile of books in one corner, a handful of empty potion vials in another, and, oh, that's new, a travel-worn notebook that she's seen in Yaskir's bags, a scrap of sheet music poking out from between the pages. For a second, Yennefer imagines her perfume and her correspondence sitting next to that notebook, all three of their belongings tangled up together in the Witcher's Keep. Yeskier wraps himself around her, his chest flush to her back, and presses a kiss to her neck.
"You're looking far too thoughtful," he murmurs, his hands skating down her stomach, fingertips catching in the embroidery of her dress.
"No need to be jealous," Yennefer says, tilting her head back, letting out a soft sigh as his teeth graze over the pulse in her throat. "I know it's difficult for you to have thoughts at the best of times, but you're doing the best you can."
Yeskier snorts a laugh. "Rude."
"She's not wrong,"
Geralt rumbles, and comes to face her, taking her face in his hands and kissing her, sweet and slow and gentle. She rests her hands on his hips, sinks into the kiss, trapped between the warmth of their bodies. No, not trapped, held, safe and precious and loved. Her heart soars in her chest, and she kisses Geralt harder. Yeskir husks a breathy laugh in her ear as his fingers dance down her spine, undoing the long row of tiny buttons that arrows down the back of her dress. "Let's get you out of this, shall we, my naiad," he murmurs, emphasizing the endearment. "Show Geralt exactly what we've been hiding from him." Yennefer pulls away from Geralt, twists to the side, and captures Yaskir's lips in a fierce, awkward kiss. "I wouldn't say we've been hiding it," she drawls. "It's there, written plain for him to see."
"What are you two talking about?"
Geralt growls, then leans forward, tangles his hand in Yaskir's hair, and kisses him forcefully over Yennefer's shoulder.
"Hiding what?"
"It was a summer evening in Novigrad," Yaskir says, flashing Geralt a cheeky grin as he peels Yennefer's dress open. "The day had been long and hot, sultry, I might even say, and the sun was low in the sky at that late hour, drenching the city in golden light, glinting off the rippling waves and making the docks shine with..."
"We'd been drinking since noon,"
Yennefer interrupts, shrugging out of her dress, letting it fall in a heap to the floor. Her undergarments fasten up the front, and Geralt's hands make quick work of the laces, tugging them open with practiced dexterity.
"This was years ago, Geralt," Yennefer says, as Yaskir sweeps her hair to one side, presses soft kisses to her skin.
"Before either of us reconciled with you, but after I'd had to effect a daring rescue to save our bard from torture and death at the hands of Nilfgaard."
Yaskir grimaces. "Thanks for the reminder."
Yennefer reaches back, runs her hand through his hair, presses her cheek to his, and closes her eyes just for a moment. A little to her surprise, she feels Geralt lean in too, his hand cupping Yaskir's cheek, his forehead resting against them both. And for a heartbeat, they just stand there, whatever frantic need that's gripping them paused, breathing each other's air. Yennefer isn't sure how she ever survived without this. Yaskir tilts his chin forward, catches Geralt's lips in a soft kiss.
"We were drunk in Novigrad," he says, his voice calmer,
and helps Geralt strip Yennefer out of the last of her clothes.
"We'd gotten kicked out of whatever bar we'd ended up in for being too loud. I think I was premiering a new song in Yennefer's honor, but I can't entirely be sure. So we were wandering down through the streets near to the docks, our gorgeous sorceress hanging off my every word, of course. I was trying to stop him falling flat on his face on the cobbles," Yennefer corrects, "when a young man called out to us from his shop."
She turns in Geralt's arms, wholly naked, and starts on the fastenings of Yaskir's doublet. "He was a tattoo artist," she says, feeling Geralt's hands mapping across the curves of her hips, his fingers digging into her skin. "And he was clearly more than used to dealing with the less salubrious of Novigrad's clientele." "She means that he specialized in tattooing drunk sailors," Yaskir says brightly, shrugging off his doublet and pulling his shirt over his head. "And hey, we weren't sailors, but we were drunk enough to be easy prey."
"Are you saying,"
Geralt asks, surprise warring with arousal in his voice,
"that you got tattoos?"
"Matching tattoos as well," Yennefer confirms, yinking impatiently at the laces of Yaskir's trousers. Yaskir frowns at Geralt.
"You've seen me naked a lot, Geralt,"
he says, then turns a little, spreads his fingers across the dark ink healed into the skin across his ribs.
"Are you really saying that you've never noticed this before?"
"The lettering?" Geralt asks, as Yennefer tugs Yaskir's trousers and small clothes down over his hips.
"I've noticed it. It's difficult to read at a glance, and I never really paid much attention to it."
Yaskir toes off his boots and kicks the rest of his clothes off. You never paid attention to it, he repeats, his voice laughing. Of course you didn't, my idiot witcher. Geralt's expression is oddly tight.
You didn't have it before the dragon hunt, he says. And then when you found me in Syria during the war, you did. You never brought it up, never explained it. So I didn't ask. Figured that if you wanted me to know, you'd tell me. And if you didn't want me to know, that I had no right to.
His expression stills.
Figured I deserved nothing less.
Yennefer watches Jaskier's face spasm, watches the regret and the love that pours across his expression. Oh, Geralt, he says, soft and tender, and pulls Geralt toward him, wraps him in his arms. There's a part of Yennefer that thinks that she should feel like she's intruding, that this is something private between them, their pain, their heartbreak. But even though their arms are around each other, Geralt's forehead pressed to the crook of Jaskier's neck, she knows that this is hers, too. She runs a hand on Geralt's back, presses a kiss to Jaskier's shoulder, and almost as one, they reach for her, drag her into their embrace without ever letting each other go. Jaskier lets out a soft sigh, his voice muffled by Geralt's hair.
I think, he says, that you're wearing entirely too many clothes, Geralt.
I agree, Yennefer says, and her hands move to Geralt's jacket, his shirt, stripping them away as Jaskier reaches for his trousers, undoing the laces with almost painful slowness.
You haven't explained the tattoo, Jaskier,
Geralt says, letting himself be undressed, one hand in Jaskier's hair, the other resting lightly at Yennefer's waist. Jaskier hums.
That's true, he says, and pulls the laces out of Geralt's trousers with a flourish.
Let me continue my tale, he says, crossing the small distance to the bed and collapsing down on his back.
Novigrad, a hot, sticky summer's eve. We're lured in by the promise of tattoos, and the lovely young tattooer says to me, I can do you anything, mister. Perhaps the name of your beloved, right above your heart? And I'm very confused for a second because, well, you're not there. But then I realize he is talking about Yennefer.
I laughed, Yennefer says, watching Geralt strip off the last of his clothes, a familiar hunger building in her belly.
But the whole situation just seems so unbearably funny,
Jaskier says, lounging back on his elbows, watching them with heat in his gaze, that we just had to go ahead. So we asked the lovely young man if he could tattoo my beloved on each of us, and he said he could. And then he suggested that, wouldn't it be a lot more elevated if it were an elder?
Unfortunately, Yennefer says dryly, he didn't speak elder very well.
So Fingariad, Jaskier explains, meaning my love, my beloved, all things that have fortuitously come to be quite appropriate nowadays, became Finnaiad.
Nainaiad,
Geralt rumbles, and pulls Yennefer to him, his body firm and warm and scarred, his hair falling around her face like a curtain.
You had a young tattooer in Novigrad who didn't speak elder tattoo you.
It seemed like a good idea at the time, Yennefer breathes, and tips his head down into another kiss.
I'm fairly sure he was an apprentice,
Jaskier says, his hand curled loosely around his cock as he watches them kiss.
That would also explain how difficult the letters are to read. Honestly, I would have thought that script's one of the easier things to tattoo. I fucked a Skelliger naval officer once who had a ship tattooed across his entire back. That must be tricky. But a few letters on a drunk bard's ribs? How hard could that be?
Hard enough, Yennefer says. And painful, too.
Geralt frowns down at her.
So where's yours?
He asks, eyebrow raised.
I've seen you naked plenty of times, too, Yen. And I've never noticed any tattoos.
Yennefer quirks a half smile,
steps away from him, goes to Yaskir and settles herself in his lap. He presses his chest up against her back, littering kisses across her shoulders, and his hands settle across her bare stomach, sliding inexorably lower. "It's here," Yennefer says, as one of Yaskir's hands slips between her legs, his fingers pressing into her. She brushes her thumb to her ribcage, murmurs a quiet word, and the glamour that she holds in place across that tiny patch of skin fades away into the glimmering candlelight, leaving the almost unreadable black ink bare to the world. "My naiad," she says, leaning back into Yaskir's embrace, eyes fluttering shut. "I keep it hidden, unlike some people, because it's private. Something just for us." "And now," Yaskir says, his teeth catching at her earlobe, his breath hot against her skin. "For you too, Geralt." Geralt hums, sinks to his knees, and joins his tongue to the slow pace of Yaskir's fingers. His hands are steady against Yennefer's thighs, thumbs rubbing circles into her skin, and Yaskir's other hand dances lightly across her breasts, rolling her nipples between his fingers, pinching in time with the rhythm of Geralt's tongue. "Fuck!" Yennefer gasps, hips stuttering upwards. "In a minute," Yaskir whispers, smirking. "Got to pay homage to your nub of delight first." Geralt pauses, looks up at them. "Nub of delight." Yennefer groans, grabs a handful of his silver-white hair, and shoves him back between her legs. "You," she hisses, grabbing at Yaskir's hair this time, "are an embarrassment." She kisses him possessively, commandingly, almost violently. "Now make me come before I decide that keeping you around simply isn't worth it anymore." "As you wish, my lady," Yaskir says, crooks his fingers, and fucks her brutally hard. Geralt follows suit, licking and sucking with the most obscene noises she's ever heard, and when his thumb joins Yaskir's fingers, spreading her open, sinking inside as Yaskir sucks a bruise into her neck, she comes with a hoarse, breaking cry, shuddering through her orgasm, held safe in the embrace of two men who would do anything she asked of them. "You are so beautiful when you fall apart like that," Yaskir murmurs, slipping his fingers free and, oh, pressing them into Geralt's mouth to be sucked clean. He eases her down to the bed, presses a fleeting kiss to the dark tattoo on her ribs, then looks back to Geralt, still kneeling on the floor at the edge of the bed. "I seem to remember something about you getting on your knees for us," he says, his attempt at nonchalance thoroughly wrecked by the unabashed lust in his voice. Yennefer watches, lounging on her side, catching her breath, as Geralt leans forward and gently digs his teeth into the meat of Yaskir's inner thigh. Yaskir groans, his head falling back, his eyes sliding shut. But Yennefer can't tear her gaze away as Geralt takes Yaskir's cock into his mouth. His lips are stretched wide, his hand wrapped around the base, and he works up and down at an almost leisurely pace, the look in his eyes just as intent as it is when he's oiling his swords for battle, when he's sparring with his Witcher brothers, when he's rubbing down his horse after a long day on the road. "Geralt," Yaskir chokes out. "Oh, gods, your mouth!" Yennefer shifts closer, draws her fingertips down Yaskir's chest, replaces Geralt's hand with her own. She strokes Yaskir's cock as Geralt hollows his cheeks and sucks at the head, then noses at Yaskir's cheeks, licks at the sweat beating along his stubbled jaw. "Don't come, Yaskir," she murmurs, and Yaskir gives a strangled yelp that makes Geralt chuckle. "Don't," Yennefer says, firmer, and squeezes her fingers tight around the base of his cock. "I want to ride you, and then I want to watch Geralt come inside you. When we're both done, you can come any way you want." Yasgir moans.
Are you trying to kill me, Yennefer?
Yennefer laughs, releases him, and claims his lips in a hard kiss.
I just want to find out how much your human cock can take, she says, scratching her nails over his nipples. For research purposes, you understand.
You do like to tease him,
Geralt says, his voice even more gravelly than usual. And he moves up the bed, braces himself above Yennefer, and kisses her. He tastes of her and of Yasgir at the same time, sharp and salty on his tongue, and then he shifts, dips to the side to share that taste with Yasgir, too. And Yennefer's starting to realize that there are very few things in this world that she finds more ironic than watching her lover's kiss. She pushes Geralt out of the way, straddles Yasgir's lap, and sinks down onto his spit-slick cock, sighs in bone-deep satisfaction, and starts to move, rocking her hips just the way she likes, still a little oversensitive, fire sparking through her with every movement. Oh, fuck! Yasgir groans, arching up against the bed. Yennefer, gods, I fucking love you, and I fucking love fucking you. Oh, the way you feel.
If you keep talking like that, Geralt growls, you'll talk yourself into coming before she wants you to.
He kneels on the mattress, coaxes Yasgir up onto his elbows, then guides Yasgir's mouth to his cock.
Focus on something else,
he instructs, his hand running gently through Yasgir's hair.
Focus on me. Focus on my cock in your mouth.
Yasgir moans softly, eyes half closed, and Yennefer rocks her hips harder, feeling her heart beating faster, her arousal spiking higher at the sight of him, sprawled out and wanton, taking so much pleasure in bringing them pleasure.
Gods,
Geralt husks, fingers tightening in Yasgir's hair, and the rasp in his voice sends a bolt of ecstasy straight to Yennefer's heart.
Yasgir, he groans. Fuck, you look so good like this. So goddamn beautiful.
Yasgir makes a tiny whimpering noise at the back of his throat, and he thrusts up into Yennefer harder, faster, one of his hands gripping her hip, encouraging her to move with him. She matches his thrusts, riding him harder, and all of a sudden, it hits her. Geralt's words of praise, Yasgir's answering whimper, the stuttering, ragged way he's fucking into her, counterpointed with the laxness of his body, boneless and slack. Months ago, in passing, Yennefer told Geralt how Yasgir fell apart above and inside her at the simplest words of praise, at the quietest whisper of genuine joy in his ear. She told him, saw the surprise blossom in his eyes, surprise and the intrigue, and now here she is, as Geralt carefully, slowly, oh so gently, takes Yasgir to pieces with the knowledge that she gave him. Yennefer's orgasm is unexpected and all-encompassing. She collapses onto the mattress of the overcrowded bed, thighs still trembling, aftershocks of pleasure rumbling through her body. She lies there for a second, catching her breath, and then Geralt's looming over her, leaning across Yasgir to kiss her, soft and gentle. She chases his lips as he pulls away, snatching another kiss before he leaves her, and she falls back, watches as he slips out of the bed.
Leaving so soon?
She asks, her voice more wrecked than she'd like to admit. Yasgir laughs, rolls onto his side, and nuzzles against her shoulder. His lips are red and slick with spit.
I think he is working on the next stage of your instruction, Yennefer, he says, kissing her, messy and wet.
You've ridden me to what looked like a fairly lovely orgasm. What's next on the list? Oh yeah, you want to watch Geralt come inside me. Yennefer hums, runs her hand on Yasgir's side, digging her fingers into the swell of his ass a little harder than is strictly necessary.
I can't help it,
she murmurs against his lips, kissing him, chasing his tongue with hers.
You never look prettier than when you're spread open and panting.
The bed dips as Geralt rejoins them, and Yennefer meets his gaze over Yaskir's shoulder.
Wouldn't you agree, Geralt?
I would,
Geralt says, thick with lust, and his slick fingers ghost across Yennefer's, dripping oil across Yaskir's skin. Yennefer coaxes Yaskir's thigh up, watches him shift his position to give Geralt easier access. And Yennefer doesn't have to be a sorceress to know when Geralt's fingers slide into him. Yaskir's eyes roll back in his head, his mouth gaping wide, and he groans, loud and unashamed. Geralt laughs softly, kisses a bruise into Yaskir's neck, then looks up at Yennefer.
He's still loose from where I fucked him this morning,
he says, heat and want and humor blazing in his eyes.
Didn't know when I'd get to have him again, given that you were arriving today. Wanted to make sure he remembered me.
Yaskir groans.
Difficult to forget you with half your fucking hand in my ass,
he gasps. Geralt shrugs, seemingly unaffected by the naked, panting, writhing barred caught between them.
Didn't think this was where we'd end up.
Yennefer reaches over Yaskir, trails her fingertips down Geralt's cheek, catching in his stubble.
Would you prefer to be elsewhere?
She asks. And it's mostly a joke, but she realizes as she is speaking that there's a grain of truth there, too. Geralt turns his head, kisses her fingertips.
No,
he says.
This is what I want, for as long as I can have it.
Yennefer feels her heart fluttering in her chest, light and so fucking free. Forever, she says. She promises. And Yaskir moans in accompaniment to her words, musical and eloquent and unashamed in his pleasure.
You have us forever.
Something flickers in Geralt's eyes, something she can't quite identify.
I love you, Yen,
he murmurs, and leans forward to kiss her. Beneath them, Yaskir makes a noise that's half offended, half painfully aroused.
As much as I really do love watching you two kiss,
he says, sounding utterly ruined. And while it's always wonderful to hear my emotionally repressed lover confess his love for my other emotionally deprived lover, I am really going to need you to get on with it and fuck me, Geralt.
What are you thinking?
Geralt rumbles, kissing her again.
Shall I?
Yennefer hums, kissing him slow and languorous.
I think, she says, quiet and sensual, that you should put on a show for me.
Geralt's eyes flare, and Yaskir moans.
Oh, fuck, Yennefer!
He chokes out, red spots high and bright on his cheeks, sweat starting to slick his hair to his forehead.
You are frankly terrifying, and I am so completely in love with you.
Geralt laughs, and as Yennefer sprawls back against the pillows, he holds Yaskir to his knees, presses his chest flush to their bard's back, and brackets his arms across his collarbones, pinning him in place.
You are relentless,
Yennefer hears him murmur in Yaskir's ear. But any sharp response that Yaskir was going to make is lost when Geralt pushes into him. Slow and steady and...
Oh, fuck! This is the most gorgeous sight Yennefer has ever seen.
Geralt's arms, thick and scarred and so God's damn safe, holding Yaskir still as he fucks him. Yaskir's hands arched back and gripping tight in Geralt's hair, his mouth open, eyes closed, body jerking with every thrust.
I'm going to get this painted, Yennefer murmurs.
I'll have it done in oils and hung in the salon of my house in Novigrad.
Yasker laughs, a punched out, breathy sound. Not sure that your sorcerer's pencil appreciate your taste in art, he manages. Surprisingly coherent, given how thoroughly Geralt seems to be fucking him. You're right, Yennefer says, casually running her fingertips up Yasker's thigh, delighting in the jumping tension of his muscles. I'll put it in my bedroom instead. I don't want anyone seeing this but me. Yasker's eyes are dark and wicked, and he groans as Geralt buries his teeth in his shoulder, hard enough to bruise. Would you get yourself off? He asks, his hands flexing in Geralt's hair. Would you touch yourself while looking at that lovely oil painting, thinking about us fucking? Thinking about Geralt's cock in my ass, in my mouth? Thinking about his cum dripping out of me when he's done? Geralt moans, eyes screwed shut, and presses his head into Yaskia's shoulder. His fingertips are dug so hard into Yasker's chest that his knuckles are white as bone. Yennefer meets Yasker's wicked gaze and smirks. I have you both pictured in the moment of orgasm, she says, digging her nails into his thigh. Geralt's teeth in your throat, his hand around your cock. The look on his face as he came. Sheer ecstasy. Her lips curl. I wouldn't be able to look at it without remembering you both, she says, quieter. And Yaskir's eyes go a little glassy as Geralt fractionally shifts his angle, hips rabbiting faster than Yennefer thinks is humanly possible. I wouldn't be able to fall asleep at night, she says, if I hadn't already made myself come with both your names on my lips.
Yasker, Geralt grunts, and then, Ian! Fuck, Geralt!
Yasker chokes, cranes his neck back, crushes Geralt's lips to his in an awkward, off-balance kiss. Geralt makes a muffled, whining moan, then slams into Yasker one last time, his jaw going slack as he comes. Exactly like this, Yennefer says softly, studying Geralt's expression, the sheer boneless relaxation that she's only ever seen on his face after sex. Perfect, she grins. Now, if you could just hold this position for a few hours, I'll portal to Novigrad, find an artist, and we'll come back to do some initial sketches.
Try Oxenford instead,
Yasker advises, hoarse and breathless, as Geralt shifts, pulling out of him.
I know a very talented portrait artist in Oxenford, has a studio on Divinity Row. She's always in high demand, but she does owe me a favor. Stop talking about painting, Geralt growls,
then slumps back against the pillows, limbs loose and relaxed. Yasker sits back on his heels and looks at them both sprawled out across the bed, his expression disbelieving. He gestures at himself, flushed and hard. Is anyone going to do anything about this? He asks, his voice pitching a little higher. Am I just going to have to jerk myself off while you two take a nap?
A nap sounds good,
Geralt rumbles, throwing his arm across his eyes.
Yasker splutters in outrage.
Yennefer takes pity on him and curls her fingers around his cock, strokes him slow and teasing. And as she stares up at him, the flush in his cheeks, the wild mess of his hair, the brightness of his eyes and the bruised red of his lips, something twists in her heart. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you, she says suddenly, unexpectedly sincere, and Yasker's gaze flicks to her, startled. She doesn't slow her hand on his cock, delighting in how he trembles at her touch, her words, her love. I don't think I would have known how to forgive Geralt if you hadn't shown me how, she says, feeling Geralt pause at her side. And he definitely wouldn't have had the words to apologize in the way he wanted to without you.
They were his words,
Yaskir says, a little choked. I just rearranged them a bit.
You walked up to my table that day in Vizima, Yennefer says, stroking him faster, watching as his eyes shut and his mouth falls open. Without knowing how I was going to react, I could have pushed you away. At first, I did push you away. But you stood there with a bottle of Estus in your hand, offering companionship, offering friendship, offering yourself, and expecting nothing in return.
Yaskir gasps out a moan, pitches forward onto his hands and knees between them, his arms shaking.
I wouldn't have come to find either of you,
Geralt says, low in his throat. And Yennefer feels his hand wrap around hers, squeezing a little harder, moving a little faster.
I didn't think either of you ever wanted to see me again, and I thought you were better off without me.
His hand slips away, moves lower, and Yennefer watches as Yaskir's face contorts in pleasure.
When I saw you in that tavern in Temeria, I thought I was dreaming. When you looked up at me,
he trails off, and Yaskir whimpers into the quiet.
I love you, Yaskir,
Geralt says, astonishingly gentle.
I love you for forgiving me, and I love you for bringing Yen back to me.
Please, Yaskir gasps, his head hanging low. Please.
You're all right,
Geralt says, soft and full of adoration.
We have you.
Yennefer curls into Yaskir, feeling the trembling of his arms, the panting of his breath, the stutter of his hips as he does his best to fuck into her hand.
Come for us, she whispers into his ear.
Yaskir makes an utterly incoherent noise, choking and broken and panting, and comes across the blankets beneath him, body twitching, lungs hitching.
Oh, fuck,
he asks, clearly struggling to catch his breath, wheezing painfully loud.
Fuck.
Geralt pulls him against his chest, wrapping his arms around him, pressing his nose to Yaskir's sweaty hair.
Hey,
he rumbles.
You're safe. Just breathe.
Yennefer shifts closer, presses her hand flat to Yaskir's back.
Too much? She asks softly.
Yaskir makes a sound that could be agreement, could be denial, she's not really sure, and collapses onto Geralt's chest, utterly spent. Geralt laughs softly, kisses his forehead, and wraps one arm around his shoulders.
I think you broke him, Yen.
He was the one demanding attention, Yennefer says wryly. It's not my fault if he can't take it. Geralt rolls Yaskir off his chest and onto the mattress, then strips the, frankly, ruined blanket out from under them and tosses it into the corner of the room. Yennefer traces patterns through the hair on Yaskir's chest as Geralt stokes the fire, and she listens carefully to the bard's breathing, making sure he's calm, making sure he's okay, because she's more than happy to drive him to the brink and beyond to make him moan and gasp and beg, but the last thing she wants is to see him harmed. His chest is rising and falling steadily now, and by the time Geralt comes back to bed with a damp cloth, Yaskir is pretty much entirely asleep. He barely stirs as Geralt cleans him up, hums softly when Yennefer tosses a clean blanket over them both, sighs, soft and gentle, as Geralt slides under the covers to join them. If we're going to do this again, Yennefer says, brushing stray strands of hair out of Geralt's eyes, you're going to need to get a bigger bed. Geralt cocks an eyebrow.
If...
Yaskir sighs, flops a hand against Geralt's chest. When, he says, slurred with sleep.
When?
Yennefer laughs. Go to sleep, bard, she says,
presses her palm flat against his bare stomach, kisses his shoulder.
I think you need it.
Yaskir hums quietly. His hand slides off Geralt's chest, limp and lax, and he is asleep in moments. Geralt intertwines his fingers with Yennefer's, bracketing across Yaskir's body, keeping him still, keeping him safe.
Thank you, Yen,
he says, his expression soft and open.
For all of us.
Yennefer smiles. I didn't do it for you, she says, squeezing his fingers tighter, then slings her leg over Yesker's thighs, runs a free hand through his hair.
Didn't do it for him either.
She smiles as Yaskir shifts in his sleep, his forehead unlined, his lips slightly parted. I'm here because I want to be here, Geralt, she says, meeting his gaze. I'm here because you make me happy, and because for some strange reason that I haven't managed to work out yet. So does he.
Geralt rumbles a laugh.
He's like that,
he says.
Annoying.
Loud, Yennefer contributes.
Stubborn,
Geralt adds.
Has little regard for his own safety.
Awful taste in clothes.
Impractical, too.
Flirts with every lord, lady, barmaid, stablehand, furrier, musician, and coachman he comes across.
Geralt snorts. Composes songs for them all, too.
Insists on singing those songs, Yennefer says. Incessantly.
At all hours of the day and night.
Do you think he has bewitched us? Yennefer asks. Her smile as warm as a summer sun. That is some kind of magical being, driven by sex and music and expensive clothing. That if we don't stop him, he'll drain us of all our life force with his unstoppable cheeriness. Geralt laughs softly, shakes his head.
He's just a bard, Yen.
Yennefer smiles. All the more precious for it, she murmurs. Geralt brings her hand to his lips, kisses her knuckles.
I love you.
I love you, Yennefer answers, safe and warm in the cocoon of their bed.
Contentment blazes bright in Geralt's yellow-gold eyes.
Yennefer closes her eyes, relaxes into the softness of the furs and the plumpness of the pillows, and lets out a soft sigh. She falls asleep to Yaskir's soft snores and Geralt's sleeping twitches, to the warmth of their bodies and the mismatched rhythm of their heartbeats. And right here, right now, in the sleepy, lazy peace of Geralt's bed at Kaer Morhen, she thinks she might have everything she ever wanted.